All right. Welcome again to another in an ongoing series of virtual happy hours for minority medical students. This is really our opportunity to give people our best sort of best support that we can as you sort of navigate the challenging journey of medical training. I'm very, very happy to sort of have you all here. These sessions don't happen without a lot of work. We thank Neil and Robin from Hayden Ty, and certainly Pam Teplitz, our wizards and gurus of technology. And of course, our presenters. We hope that you will feel very involved and engaged in the conversation. We hope that you'll ask lots of questions, and we hope that it's a useful and helpful presentation. So I'm going to introduce Dr. Amin or Dr. Davis-Smith. I'll let you introduce yourselves, and I'll just sort of turn everything over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, hello, guys.
Dr. Smith, you go ahead and go first.
No, go ahead. You got it.
Okay. my name is Tanya Aneem. I am currently a women's health fellow at Florida Hospital in Orlando, Florida. I just completed my residency at Halifax in Daytona Beach, Florida. And so the purpose of me wanting to participate in these happy hours and help present tonight is just to give the perspective of a resident who is taking part in a team, in the entire residency program, as we have residents or medical students rather, who are going through the interview process, and let you know what are the things that I've noticed as a resident who reviews applications and interviews medical students for residency.
And my name's Dr. Monique Davis-Smith. I'm in Macon, Georgia. I'm the program director at the residency program there, and I read lots of personal statements. We're busy now as the season has started, and I'm excited about this process, and I thank Jeffrey Ring for putting this together, organizing this wonderful idea of talking with medical students across the country about issues that are very pertinent to them. And tonight, Tanya and I, we're going to get together and talk to you guys about some ideas and concepts related to preparing your personal statements. So with that stated, my view is a little different, Tanya, so work with me as we go through the slides. I'll advance and we'll do our first slide. I think it advanced. Do you guys have it?
Why don't you ask me to advance the slides?
Okay.
Just say advanced slides, and so we're on slide number two, right? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, take us back. The first slide is what not to do.
There you go.
Okay. Tanya, you want to go ahead?
Sure.
Well.
So one of the things that we definitely wanted to talk about is the things that we, you know, are looking for you not to do in a personal statement. And I know it sounds like a sort of a backwards way to begin, but probably one of the best ways to understand what it is that we're looking for is to understand what we're not looking for, or things that immediately turn off your reader when you're making your personal statement. So the first thing that we thought about was not making it too long. We do definitely want to get a great sense of your personality, who you are, why you're choosing the field that you're choosing, but we don't, you know, necessarily want to read a personal statement that's entirely too long. So what is a good length? One of the things I usually suggest is if you were typing it in a Word document, it would be something that is at max 2 pages that was double spaced. Or if you were typing something that's a single space document, just a 1-page single space document. Now the ERAS or whatever you're using to upload your personal statement, usually it's not asking for you to attach a Word document or a PDF. It's usually something that you would have to copy and paste or type directly into a text box. So what we usually recommend is that you type it up in a word processing, you know, program like Word or whatever software that you have on your computer, and then copy and paste it into the ERAS program. And then that way you can tell when you're using it in the word processing program what length or how many words and how many characters that you're using. The next tip that we had, things that you don't want to do in your personal statement, is tell personal health information about other people. You know, we talk all the time about HIPAA, whether you are already, you know, an MD, or even anyone who's taking care of patients being part of the healthcare team, that information is entrusted to you by patients. And so even though you're only sharing it with a few people in your personal statement, it's still sharing someone else's personal information. So you can use very general ideas about patients, you know, but you definitely don't want to use anyone's name or any personal identifying information. Next thing that you don't want to do is to make up a story. We want to get to know the real you. So if you have something that's personal to you that you want to share, something that will help us to get to know you, that would be a great thing to share. Especially if you're going to make up a story, most likely you wouldn't be able to remember all the details that you stated in your personal statement and things like that, which could lead to inconsistencies, which won't make you be in the best light come your interview day. So you also want to make sure that you're being genuine. Dr. Davis, do you want to?
Yes, and then the other thing is making sure that you're using language that you typically use. So you don't want to go and impress using your SAT words and maybe putting words together in phrases that you wouldn't typically use, because when granted the interview, your personal statement would probably set the stage for your conversation to a degree. And so you want to be a little careful about how you put your words together and what words you use. And you have to remember that this is something that the people in the program where you're applying will need to read. So you want to make it be a statement that's easy to read and words that flow. And then it's not, this is not your biography, so it's not a time just to tell your whole life story. In the beginning, you know, I was born kind of scenario, but it is something where we want a bit of a capsule of your professional development as a medical student and what's leading you to want to go into the residency that you're choosing. So don't take this as an opportunity to write your autobiography, if you will, so to limit the verbiage here. If you could advance the slide, please. So as we talked about what not to do, you know, it's an interesting place to start, as she stated. The next thing is to talk about what to do. And an important thing, I think, in your personal statement is to explain any gaps in your timeline. And by that I mean, most students and residents now are not your traditional students who went right to college and then right to medical school and right from medical school into residency, but perhaps had some time off for professional development or personal reasons. So if there are any gaps in your training, and particularly if there are gaps in your studies during medical school, that's the elephant in the room if it's not mentioned, because it's noticed in your transcript and it's noticed in other places. So if you take a little time, you don't have to go into great detail, as we said in the previous slide, it's not enough time to tell your whole life story, but to have a few words that explain any gaps in your timeline. Another big strength, I think, in your personal statement is, as it's a time to talk about you, is to discuss your challenges and how you've learned from them. So if you have any particular things that are occurred, a grade or a class that you had to repeat, or if there was a failure on your step exams, or a challenging event that occurred on your rotations or your rounds, to weave that into your personal statements and show how you identify the challenges and what steps you learned from them and how you can apply that as you move forward. And then what I think is really important is to share your personal statement and your CV with the people that you're asking to write your letters from. That will really help them to write you a stronger letter, I think, to help build a theme in your personal, in your letters of support. And also to hopefully reduce the risk of having your letters of support contradict your personal statements. I've read many personal statements and then read their letters of support, and they sound like they're describing two different people. So you would really like, if you're able to have your personal statement written and your CV prepared as you're requesting your letters, that will be a helpful tool for the person that's writing the letter. The other benefit that comes from that is generally those people, if you've not already submitted your personal statement, can give you some feedback, particularly if they find grammatical errors or other comments about how you might fine-tune your personal statement. Tanya, did you want to speak to any of the concepts on what to do?
Well, I think that was perfect. That's exactly what residents are looking for, as well as they're reviewing for personal statements, in particular the gaps in your timeline or the challenges that you face. So you just want to make sure that you're being forthcoming and with the information in your personal statement, and that will make the conversation, especially during your interview, that much smoother instead of you wondering, oh, is the resident going to bring this up? Did they happen to catch this? Things like that. You just want to make sure that you put all that information that you're comfortable talking about up there, out front, so that they can be open to bring up the conversation with you.
Okay, we can advance that somewhere. So, we've talked about what not to do and what to do, so that might leave you with a lot of questions about, well, where do I go from here? And it's typically challenging when you're starting to write. You get that blank page. And the question with this slide is, really, who are you? And why medicine? It's your personal statement for medical school. But why medicine is almost an option now because you're completing medical school. But now, why this specialty? Who am I, and what is it about me that makes me uniquely qualified for this residency program that I'm looking forward to attending? And if you're looking, I haven't really narrowed it down. Let's say you're applying to family medicine and peds, and perhaps internal medicine. You might take some care in writing those personal statements if you're writing one personal statement for all three of those programs to keep it. But if you're going to write three personal statements to make sure that if one talks about you going into pediatrics and the other why family medicine is your passion and the other internal medicine, sure that you send those to the correct places. I think we'll bring that up again on another slide. But this is something I think is important in the personal statement because it's that, a personal statement. So it's about talking and telling your story, so asking and answering that question of who am I and what is it about me that has me uniquely, if you will, qualified for this particular residency. Tanya, do you want to comment on that?
One moment. Is anyone else getting a lot of chopping in the sound, or is it just me?
Oops.
Sounds okay to me.
Okay, good. All right. One thing that we definitely want you to talk about in your personal statement is any experiences that you've had. What brought you to medicine, to that particular specialty? Anything unique that's happened in your lifetime? Did you, like, if, for example, if you did have one of those non-traditional paths to medicine, whether you were a teacher for several years before you decided to come to medicine, or if you did medical mission trips as a medical as an undergraduate student, as a medical student, things like that. So we just wanted to get a full idea of who you are and why you are interested in becoming that particular type of physician.
The other thing or point that I'll make about this is sometimes study new experiences or things because you think it's the right thing to do and to put on your personal statement and to put on your CV the next job that you. And it's important, I think, in your personal statement not to, it's like you name drop with people, is to not mention drop or experience drop, but to really talk about how, what was it about this experience? Why did I make myself available for this experience? And what did I gain from this experience that I can bring to this residency program or move, apply to my future as I move forward? I think that's an important thing to do as you're thinking about which experiences to include in your personal statement, is to think about those experiences that have really molded and shaped you to residency choice that you're considering, thinking about how those experiences have prepared you, folding that into your statement. We can advance.
Okay, I'm going to advance to the next slide.
There we go. I really like, well, we're deciding which one we're going to do, the table slide. So I like this table and this slide, and what this part or slide emphasizes for the personal statement is take a moment to talk about what you will bring to the table, what you will bring to this residency program, what skill set, personality, what traits you have that will make you be the type of resident they want. So this requires you to do a little research from the programs that you're going to look into. Read up on your programs. You don't want to write back to them exactly what they have on their programs or their descriptions, but as you're looking for residency programs, you read their programs, maybe meet people. When you go to different fairs, you can get a feel or a flair for what it is that they're looking for. You don't have what it is that they're looking for. You shouldn't make it up, as we described. But if you're like, that is me, I think it's really important to talk about what it is you're bringing to the table, understanding that you're coming to the table to learn and be fed some other things, but I think you can talk about what it is that you're bringing to the table. Team player, and over time, to feedback, energetic and ready to learn. So just talking about things in your personality, and experiences that you're bringing to the table that will be make that program and community better because of you.
I totally agree. And there's lots of different things that I've heard our interviewees say over the years that have been great things that make them assets to residency programs, whether they participated in some sort of research prior to coming into residency. Especially anything that has to do with, for example, patient-centered medical home and participating in group visits as a medical student, things that actually add value to the program and make you an asset. So a personal statement is in some ways a chance for you to shine and yes, brag about yourself, if even just a little bit, in your personal statement. So definitely share what it is that you bring to the table and what you think would make you an asset to that program.
Nice to add to personal statements. You see this in some personal statements. Do I come across the comments that this slide represents? Is talking about applying the knowledge. And so, some things when you're looking at programs, particularly if you know it's a program that you're on track, a program that has a mission of producing physicians to go and serve certain areas, and with the mission. Strong slant on developing researchers, whatever it might be, you might take a few sentences to describe how you plan, and understanding this isn't contractual, but you can project to think about how you might apply the knowledge that you will learn and gain from the experiences during the residency. So thinking ahead, it's showing, well, they're claiming already coming to the residency. You can, this is a fine art, I think. You could probably be too aggressive and overstate this. Or you could ease into it a little bit with the statement, you know, the knowledge that I gain and the experiences that I gain in the residency of plans would be to go back to my hometown and work in the federally qualified health center there and improve the health of my community there, or I'm looking to go into academic medicine. But to think about what your options might be and how you might apply the knowledges and knowledge and experiences that you gain during your residency. I think that shows forethought, and it I think it shows a little gumption, a bit of spice into the letter. That's my personal soapbox.
I agree. It's very well said. Alright, I think I'll advance us to the next slide. Okay. So, really what we want to know, when all is said and done, what was your journey? What was your path? What led you to where you are now? And what is it that you, where do you see yourself in the future? What are your goals? This whole career of medicine is a long journey, from undergrad through medical school and through residency, and residency in itself is a journey. So we just want to get a full idea of who you are. The residents want to know who they're going to be working with. They want to know, are you someone who's going to be a team player? Are you going to be a person that's teachable, great to work with? Because, you know, in all, you're going to be spending a lot of years with these people, depending on what, you know, specialty you choose. You know, as little as 3 years, and maybe 5 years if you go into general surgery, or whatever you choose to do. So we definitely want to get to know you.
And this represents, too, that it's your journey. It does say personal statement. You know, it kind of keeps back to that. It's not an autobiography, but it does need to be concise and to be a nice negative, pulling together your experiences, goals, your aspirations, and how you see yourself applying them, what you're bringing to the table, to this program, to come and join. And not making it too long, but you don't want it to be one paragraph either. It's a fine art, I think, of deciding when is enough. If you don't get enough, it leaves you a bit with bated breath, and if you have too much, it has you nauseated as the reader on the other end of these personal statements. And I know it's a bit painstaking. Writing is not second nature to most. Many people sit at the blank piece of paper or blank screen before they can actually put ink to paper or characters to the white screen. So I do understand and appreciate the amount of time and energy and effort that goes into the personal statement. What we put together here are just some global ideas to help you get started in that path, to understand what people are looking for. Oops, too far. The other thing that I think is really important with this picture, I'm going to leave it alone, Tanya, you advance it, is to really be true to yourself in your personal statement. Don't write what you think the reader wants to hear. Need to be true to yourself, because as this slide shows us, imposters will be found out, even if it looks good from a distance. When you get up close, you see things for what they really are. So if you write what you think they want to hear, but it's not really you, during the course of the interview, the real you will come out, and sure, over the course of the 3 to 5 years or more, depending on the residency that you choose, particularly during stressful situations that residency ensues, the real you will surface, and they're like, who is this person? It's not the person that wrote this personal statement. So I really want you to be true to yourself as you're writing the person.
Absolutely. The residents definitely, and most programs at least, try to make a great effort to get to know you. And it's a very little time. Usually your total interview experience is, a dinner, either the night before or the night of your interview. And then you usually have some interviews with residents on your interview day. So it might only be, 2 hours at the dinner, and then, maybe a 15 to 30 minute interview. Sometimes it's an hour interview. Each program is different, and each specialty is different in how they conduct their interviews. But we definitely try to get a sense of who you are. And if the person that you introduced to us in your personal statement is not the same person that shows up to dinner, or the person that shows up to their interview, sometimes that can be a little worrisome, and it makes you wonder, well, what kind of resident is this person going to be if they're telling us one thing in the personal statement and they show up and they're, a different person. So what we really want to know is to get you. Sincerely, we want to know who you are. And, one of the things the program wants to know also is how they're going to be able to make you happy as a resident there. So if you don't share with us in the very beginning who you are, it would be very difficult to meet those expectations from both ends. Please, you as the resident, and for the program to be able to help get you to where you want to be at the end of your training. So I'll advance this to the next slide. So some other pointers that we wanted you to be cognizant of. If you personalize your letters to specific programs, whether it's your personal statement, or if you have your letter writers, your letter's recommendation, if you have them addressed to specific programs, be sure that you assign the correct personal statement to the correct program. Also, the correct specialty. If you are applying to, let's say, dermatology, and you have letters of recommendation and a personal statement for dermatology, but you're also applying to internal medicine as your backup in case you don't get into your dermatology residency, make sure that you're assigning the correct specialty, tailored letters to the correct programs. One of the things that really looks bad is if a program you really want to go to, they get a letter that says, oh, I really want to be part of your program. This is great. I was always meant to be a dermatologist, but it's an internal medicine residency program. So you guys want to make sure that you're paying very close attention to detail. I mean, and that in itself tells the program something about you. Are you attentive to detail? A lot of mistakes happen in residency. Especially that first month, July, lots of medication errors and things like that. They want to know that you're a detail-oriented person, and you're going to double-check things, triple-check things, and just making that, minor error could be, a red flag to some programs. Try to remember what you wrote in your letters, whether it's in your personal statement, because most of the time, what they choose to ask you in the interviews or usually at dinner will be things that came from your personal statement. So make sure that you reread it prior to going for your interview. And then also make sure that your grammar and your spelling are correct. You just want to, that again shows that you pay attention to detail, that your personal statement was not something that was rushed. You want to get a couple people to read your personal statement. One thing I usually advise is to not have too many people read your personal statement, though. Pick maybe two people to get their ideas on, first of all, proofreading it just for grammar and spelling, and then just a few pointers on just the overall theme, or they think that maybe you should take this paragraph out and talk more about this other thing. Things like that. But if you try to send it to 5-10 different people, you're going to get a lot of different responses of people that think that this could be better and that could be better, and it can become overwhelming. So try not to have too many people read your personal statement. In the end, it's your personal statement. You want to know who you are.
Absolutely, I agree with that. You do have to at some point say, okay, enough. It's like making spaghetti sauce, everyone makes it differently. You know, some people put way too many things in the spaghetti sauce, so it's no longer really spaghetti sauce. So to stop and think of, you know, about after you've gotten an idea about what it is that you want to write and to frame, feel comfortable at some point to say, okay, this is enough, it's been massaged enough. You overwork it, then it, because at some point you have to submit it, so to make sure you feel comfortable with ready to progress. And the grammar and spelling is very true, right? But when Dr. Frazier's comments don't make them stick out, I just did. So we understand to err as human, but not to err in the first half statement. So that should be something you would think you've taken a bit of time to read and had some other people to read and to look at. So to make that's a place where you would rather not have grammatical errors. Some things that do occur when you upload it, just so you know, is that quotation marks you need changed to something else, apostrophes change, the characters change in those letters when you actually see them. So that's something that's given in a glitch in the system. That is something we expect, but errors in spelling and grammar typically don't occur uploading your document. So that's something you should really take care of to try to have solved.
Okay. So I think next we're going to just open the floor for any questions.
And maybe before we do that, as Tanya and I were looking through the slides, we said there was an obvious comment that we didn't make. I don't know if you want to go ahead and address that first, Tanya.
Sure. So throughout the entire presentation, we talked a lot about just general themes, general things to do, things not to do. But one of the questions that I know I'm commonly asked is how to write the personal statement in terms of framing. So should I start with a famous quote? Should I start with a really heartbreaking story or share a patient experience or something that happened to me while I was younger that had to do with a physician or a bad experience or a really great experience. And one of the things we really wanted to stay away from was giving you specific instructions like that because the personal statement is so personal. Whichever one of those things strikes you, whatever seems personal to you, whatever will evoke in you the correct feeling, theme, for your statement, that's what you should choose. No one thing is better than the other. It's just whatever you feel is the most you.
Correct. And if you're choosing to use a quote, I think it would be important to use a quote perhaps, because you don't know the relationship or what that quote may evoke in your readers. They might interact with someone. Or you don't know is or how that quote was used in context. That might be a bit embarrassing to an interview. Probably dig a little deeper if that should come up. So if you should choose to use a quote, I would encourage it to be something that you put some thought into and stand a little bit as you read. You guys have any questions for us?
This is Jeff. I have a question. What's the best way to address, like, weaker areas or, you know, sort of problems that keep the application from being fully sparkling?
I think it's important to name it. I think different people might look at that different, you know, way. Some people might say, don't say anything and bring it up unless it's brought up. But after reading statements and seeing scores, I think it's important to name it. You say, you know, I'm challenged with test taking. I've gone through test taking skills. So to name the problem or the weakness that you've identified, and to to talk about corrective actions that you put in place to improve those areas, and then maybe give an example of how you put that into play or applied those corrective actions and gotten the outcome that you wanted. And then perhaps to talk about how you will move forward, knowing that this is the challenge for you, to put things in place so it won't be a problem for you, but a stepping stone is something that you've identified as an issue, and you will work to build that up. And because if you could research the program and know what kind of resources that you have in place already to talk about how you plug into them, that's if you're personalizing the statement for a particular program. But I think it's important to just name it, to talk about whatever your challenges are. You've mentioned your statement that with two kids, and you're coming to talk about, or it's simple, because if you put that in your personal statement, it's free game for them to ask you those questions. So some, I don't know, did I answer your question first before I move to that segment?
You bet, very clear, thank you.
Okay, so another thing I'll say is on interviews, there's some questions on interviews that are inappropriate and illegal. They can't ask you, do you have kids? They can't ask you, does your spouse, are you married, and does your spouse work, and will that be a challenge? But if you mention those things in your personal statement, then that makes it fair game for them to ask. So if there are things like that that you don't want to have to ask or address during the personal statement, I wouldn't say it, but don't mention it, because if you mention it, then it brings it up for conversation. But if you mention it and you think it will be a challenge during residency, I think that's fair game, and to talk about what type of social network or support that you plan to build to help you manage these things so it won't be as much of a distraction or a challenge for you during residency. Understanding that it will be, but if you think and already know, I'm a single mom with two kids, I know this is going to be a challenge during residency, I put these things in place to help me manage it. We managed it through medical school this way, and this is the tools that we'll have. You don't have to put all that in a personal statement, but if you name it, I think the three things, if you name it, you should talk about what you've learned from it and what plan you have in place so it won't be such a big issue in the future. So you don't need to make a litany of all your challenges. Maybe just to list the ones that may be glaring that they may discern from letters that people write from you with support, or from your transcript, or from your USMLE transcript.
I definitely.
Tanya, did you want to respond to
like
that?
If you had any learning difficulties, some initiative got into kind of a program that maybe your school offers for those who are having challenges, having any kind of difficulties in the knowing that you make the effort to help ameliorate those challenges, or help those around you that were also having similar struggles and things like that. So for me, I just personally like to see what you did to help correct that and to ensure that you're going to be a successful resident, that you learned, your mistake, whether you didn't ask for help the first year and then problems got to the second year, you learned from that and now you stay on top of things. So show me that in residency you're not going to have those academic struggles, and if you do, you're going to know to talk to your faculty or, your upper class residents, get your help early, because you know that's all about good patient care and that sort of thing.
A question that showed up is what types of emotions should you evoke in readers? I don't know that you can predict that, but what the emotions you don't want to evoke are pity and, I want to say empathy, but not really empathy, but you do want them to see you as an overcomer, as a person that has insight into their challenges, as a person that problem solves to help think sometimes creatively and outside of the box about how to move forward when challenges present themselves. So those are the kind of things that you, I'm speaking from a family medicine perspective, some of those things you would like to see, you'd like for the reader to see you as a person that can be empathetic and as a person that is, presents himself as a life learner, that they've learned to this point, and they have a plan for bringing something to your table to learn more, and they have a plan for moving beyond this program and applying this knowledge and continuing to grow after they finish your program. So there's some emotions you don't want to evoke, and there are other emotions that you might want your personal statement to pull out of people.
I would also add that one good thing to do is to not necessarily know the characteristics of that particular specialty. You know, that's not probably the right way to say it, but you know, in general, people think of, for example, family physicians as warm and fuzzy, and of course, most of us love reading warm and fuzzy things. So definitely keeping that in mind, but also definitely not putting down or talking badly about any other specialty would be something that you would want to, you know, pay attention to in your personal statement. It shows a lot of your character if you talk negatively about other specialties or things of that nature. So I guess to me that's sort of part of the general feeling or things that you evoke in your reader. You definitely want to see, for them to see you as a mature and you know, positive person.
I agree with that. If you have to make someone else look bad for you to look good, then you must not look that good. So it's really important to not talk badly or put down other people. Specialties, I think, is not a positive thing.
Yes, I want to add a... First of all, you. Hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me now? Okay. Let me see if I can get the microphone closer to my mouth. Okay. I see my ring underneath my mouth lighting up. So hopefully you can hear me now. I'll just repeat. Thank you, Dr. Davis and Dr. Annie. Extremely valuable information for medical students. Probably don't get much advice on this topic. But the other comment I wanted to make about the evoking of the emotion, sort of similar to what Jeff typed it. You know, I really like to get a sense of what is a person's passion about family medicine, what has inspired them. Personal experience and experience with patient, whatever that is. You know, first of all, be genuine. I don't want you to make up a story or exaggerate a story. I want to feel like this is culture. But yes, I would say as far as igniting that emotion, I would say when I get a sense that somebody's passionate, and then the other thing, it's just dedication to learning, dedication to medicine, dedication to family medicine, as in my case, in my just a sense of what it is that is essentially driving you into this field and really, really making you feel the passion about.
I absolutely agree as well, and hopefully, you know, any program, any specialty that you're applying to, it is something that you have a passion for. Sometimes I'm a little disheartened if I read a personal statement and it comes across, at least, that the person doesn't know what family medicine is, or what family physicians do. So if you have a passion for the specialty, hopefully, we don't expect that you know everything about that specialty, but hopefully you will have, you know, enjoyed your rotation, have yourself hopefully a mentor in that specialty or someone that you can at least ask a few questions to about that specialty. You read up about the specialty, And you do have a genuine, you know, passion for it, and we hope that that shines through in the personal statement.
All right. Well, thank you both so much. Any other questions or thoughts before we wind down? It was just so comprehensive and helpful and rich, and as I think Catherine pointed out in the text, I'm not sure how much attention to these issues really goes on in school. So this was a great service. We have it recorded, and hopefully others will be able to come and visit and take advantage as well. So, thank you all again. Thank you to all those that make this possible. We always wind down our gatherings with a small dance party. So if you want to join me over here, we'll throw on the jukebox. Basically, all you have to do is click on the jukebox, hit a number, and you will be dancing. So the jukebox is just down and to the right of the stage. So, check our website, Cultural Medicine Training, for schedules, and please help spread the word so that we can share this great advice with everyone else. Thank you both for this really great presentation.
Thank you. Thanks for allowing me to participate.
My pleasure.
Janet, if you... Janet, if you want to join us in the dance, click stand. And... walk on over towards the jukebox.
We don't ever have his music. That's the problem. That's the problem. Oh, I like these moves. That's pretty good. That's fun. Hey. This is one of the best parties I've been to for a while.
On the number, nothing happens.
It should happen.
Mine was asking me a second question underneath. Do you want to animate your avatar? And I wasn't seeing it. So if you move the conversation box or something, maybe you'll see that also.
Oh, maybe it was hidden. That's a good point. Well, I'm very lucky to be here at a family medicine behavioral science conference in Chicago. I'm sorry Dr. Fraser's not here with us, but there's lots of good learning going on.
Steph, I am so envious.
We should at least send your avatar.
I should. Yeah, my boss wouldn't have to pay for that, so that might actually work.
Melissa and Jay Solis, are you guys able to figure out the dance thing? There you go. There you go. Very nice.
Janet, click on the jukebox. Just click the jukebox, and then a box will show up that has some numbers on it. Click one of the numbers, and then you will do the dance of that number.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got it.
Thank you. Whoa.
Watch
out
for
that
purse.
Oh, my God.
Watch out for that purse.
Are you talking to someone?
Oh.
There you go.
let's see.
Guys,
who is that?
Going. I have to go check homework.
Okay. Oh, my. Well, thank you a million, Monique.
Emo.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you both so much.
You,
good night.
Emo, we're concluding with a dance. Come on down to the front. And did you, you were away for some of it. Did you hear the, okay, you got it. All right. You can move down
nice.
To the floor if you want.
Beautiful. Well, it's rainy and cloudy in Chicago, but it's beautiful in our amphitheater.
Well, it's nice here in Los Angeles still.
Yeah.
I had several people ask if it was going to be recorded, so I assume that people will be coming by to listen.
You did a sound recording, and I did a screen recording.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
So we're good.